just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite films. Here's your team of debauchery, lovely Lisa.
Hey, I thought the Wicked Witch of the West was in Oz, not Toontown.
Sexy Scully.
God, I hate tunes.
And of course, Crazy Carl.
I say he kissed the wrong rabbit.
Me too. Was I the only one that wanted to see the bunny? Oh, I'm just kidding. Every prepubescent boy in the 90s wanted to see the bunny. So, for those of you who weren't paying attention last week or who don't get our jokes, this week we're buffing Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Wow. I just realized my IMDb is not actually in front of me. Okay, a tune-hating detective is a cartoon rabbit's only hope to prove his innocence when he is accused of murder. What is with IMDb and their synopsis? They're so simple lately.
I have no idea, but you got it. I love the people who liked this also liked.
Go for it.
We've got Monster House, Rescuers Down Under, Ratatouille, How to Train Your Dragon, Monsters, Inc., and Toy Story.
Some of those I actually did enjoy.
I've seen all of them.
How many of these are in 3D?
I've seen all of them but one, and I enjoyed all of the ones that I've seen.
Which one have you not seen?
Monster House.
That's the one I haven't seen.
Yeah, I haven't
seen
that either.
It's actually cute. It's really cute, yeah.
The rest of them are really good.
Okay, so let's start with...
It's not as scary as they make it out to be.
I tell you what, let's go into our like and dislikes. So,
oh, wait,
Scully,
you're going to skip a segment?
No, I'm just getting back to it.
Oh, okay.
Scully.
You're rolling back into it. Yeah, no, frigid.
Were you wet
like,
or frigid for Who Framed like, Roger Rabbit?
Frigid, as cold as I am, sitting here in a blanket because the unknown reason of why I'm shivering, frigid.
Wow, you really don't like this movie?
Why?
Don't
like the movie. I don't like the lines. I didn't laugh. I laughed once the entire time, and it was at this really hokey, like, unbelievably dumb, classic vaudevillian joke.
Wow.
That was the only time I laughed this entire
movie. I did that because there was one point where I was like, why am I laughing at this? And it was when the car got into the driver's seat and took off driving. And I lost it. Like, I was holding my sides laughing about this.
And what's really funny is I slept through the middle of this movie because I was so exhausted and still laughed more than that.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, so Carl, hard or flaccid for Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I'd go about half staff. It is a fun movie for the purpose of being a fun movie. It's kind of popcorny, but you know that's what it's supposed to be. It doesn't pretend to be anything else. It doesn't even attempt to pretend to be anything else.
Thank God.
All right, Lisa, wet or frigid for Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Slightly moist.
Care to elaborate?
I don't have to. Carl did a wonderful job for me.
No, I said elaborate, not... Never mind.
That's all you get, Rod.
Oh, I could not help that joke. Okay, as for this movie and I, I want to say that I hated it. It's one of those movies that I watch and I really want to hate, but I'm going to definitely give it about a half staff because, like Carl said, it is a fun movie, but my biggest thing about this is, at least it didn't have Seth Green in it.
Hey, Rod.
Hmm.
I just gotta say, it's no Cool World. It has absolutely no pretensions about what it is.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of where I was getting at with the Seth Green comment.
Sorry, I forget that he was in that.
Yeah. He was?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Anyway,
I saw it once and then said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, I've seen Cool World twice and I couldn't name a single thing about it except for the fact that Brad Pitt was in it.
Yeah.
I remember that the chick who was married to Roger Rabbit was in it. She annoyed me just as much.
Okay, so on that note, let's get into a who would you do, because everybody now is imagining a Jessica Rabbit lesbian three-way. Nobody what? Else is imagining that?
No!
Yeah.
No!
I have no idea. I'm like, what other girls are you talking about?
The girls that are on this show.
Oh.
Come on, woo! Okay, right overhead.
Really tired.
I will hang Rod. Her by her ass cheeks and have fun Giggity. Without her.
Hey, Rod.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly why it went over her head. It's all about positioning.
Oh. Yeah, this is going to be one long sex joke tonight. So for those of you...
okay, Kelly,
if you are under 18, please turn us off.
Yes, please hit the little X in the top right-hand corner of the window and go to bed.
That's why we have the NSFW rating. Mm-hmm. And we just put an explicit tag on it no matter what.
Yep. All right, who would you do, Scully?
The only one that's even remotely doable is Jessica Rabbit. Like, the ape is the only thing that comes up next close.
Wise ass. I can't even do the, I can't do the voice Seriously. For him. Like, that voice was awesome. You know, I half expected you to say Christopher Lloyd. I did. I don't know why.
No,
I'm just kidding. I really expected that out of Lisa. Lisa, who would you do?
Well, Carl's just waiting on me to spoil his joke. So I'm going to. Goofy.
Yeah.
No.
What?
Why?
I have to now I have to tell this joke because Lisa's brought this up. I was reading across a jokes blog the other day and came across this joke. So Mickey and Minnie are having marital difficulty and they decide to go to a marriage counselor. The marriage counselor's like, okay, I'm going to talk to you one-on-one first and then I'll bring
you together.
So he sends Minnie out to the waiting room for a little while and he talks to Mickey. And then, you know, they swap places. He talks to Minnie for a little while and he pulls Mickey back in there and he's like, okay, Mickey, normally I don't, you know, I'm not this blunt, but I've just got to say that your major complaint was that your wife was crazy. And I've been talking to her for 30, almost 45 minutes now and she has seemed completely lucid. I just got to know, what exactly are you talking about? And Mickey looks at the counselor and rolls his eyes and goes, Doc, I never said she was crazy. I said she was fucking goofy.
That's right up there with the it drives me nuts joke.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love that joke.
You would.
Are you kidding? I'll be like 2.5 miles in. Doing a run and are driving me nuts and I'll start snickering in the middle of a run.
Out of all the humans, it would probably have to be Christopher Lloyd.
Okay. I'm fucking disturbed.
Hey.
I know somebody who's not getting laid tonight.
Okay, why?
You.
I'm sorry that I had to ask this.
You want to have sex with Jessica. You!
I haven't even answered the question yet.
I never said that. I said that I want to watch Jessica have sex with other women.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a whole different thing.
I'm thinking of what he was saying during the movie.
I was saying her ass was not as big as you thought it was.
Did I lose y'all?
No, it is as big as I thought it was.
Now, Scully's the one who said she was going to sleep with Jessica Rabbit. And on behalf of all warm-blooded male Americans everywhere, can I watch?
Okay, so really quick, all I know is my sound cut out for a minute, my audio cut out for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And it came back to all I heard was, it's big, really big. Like, that was all I heard. I
don't even remember any of us saying that.
You did.
Oh.
Yeah. This thing about Jessica Rabbit's ass being too big, which...
Gotcha, okay.
Which is mostly because of how she is always drawn, which is how she is always posed when she's drawn in this movie.
Yeah.
Because she's always leaning...
I'm pretty sure you could set a keg on those ass cheeks and her not spill a drop.
Please, God, let that be true.
My biggest issue with her drawing is you gotta look at her feet. She doesn't have any. she has this point with wavy little legs. So her legs are all these little weird curves, and they point.
And her boobs bounce!
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's the lack of feet that I find very disturbing.
Yeah, but Scully, seriously, how much time are you going to spend down that far?
Well, the logistics of what she can and cannot do without shoes on, given that she has no feet.
Okay, in all absolute seriousness, I'm kind of torn here because I know I need to keep this show going, but I really want this conversation to finish.
I know. Let's just say drink.
Jeez. We have to have this talk later, okay, guys? Okay, moving on. Carl, who would you do?
Jessica Rabbit.
For lack of a better option.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of with you there, too. I mean, yeah. Dolores was not attractive. She was not entertaining in any way.
Yeah.
But...
Boop.
I was going to say, but I got to say, I'd have gone for Betty Boop.
Okay. You go for
Just
Betty.
Because, I mean, I had a huge crush on her back in when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I had a crush on a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
You were still, like, a quarter of her age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. But I can't help it. I mean, the boop-boopy-doo gets me hard. Brad's over here holding his breath so that he doesn't laugh right now. Okay, so moving on. Let's get into a round table, shall we? Where does this movie start at?
The cartoon.
Yes, the cartoon, which was a hilarious aspect of the late 80s, early 90s concept of cartoons.
Yeah. And
I didn't find it funny at all.
And it was also a throwback to the whole, you know, in the 40s, movies always started with cartoons first.
Yeah.
Which, and really, that's, you know, that is exactly what this movie is. This movie is making fun of both cartoons and noir detective stories
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Big time. And, I mean, it was really, trying to think, Dick Tracy. Like, think of Dick Tracy, the cartoon versus the film. And the cartoon was significantly better. I mean, it just was. And that's what this is trying to point out is, you know, doing a noir as a crossover rather than separating cartoon and film. Maybe I'm wrong there. That's just what I had in my head when I was watching it. Did I lose everybody? Or
no, I just think you're overthinking something that was supposed to be a just funny, money-making, cheap casting.
Cheap casting. It had Bob Haskins. I mean, okay, fair enough.
But how many live
And it had Christopher Lloyd, which...
Oh, Christopher Lloyd was, like, for 20 years.
At one point in time, he was really popular.
No, for 20 years, Christopher Lloyd was Hollywood's whore. Now, granted, he has now passed that torch on to, what's his name, James Franco. But nobody else agrees with me on that. I mean, Christopher Lloyd was in everything. It's like, hey, we need a funny guy. Throw Christopher Lloyd into it.
Yeah.
Hollywood's whore. He
well,
saw
it wasn't
more
just
action
a funny guy. He also he did a lot of evil characters too. Like in this movie, he did both funny versus the funny goofy and the chaotically cynically evil.
Am I the only one that every time I see Christopher Lloyd in a role, I automatically think pedophile?
No.
Like I get that feeling from him every time I see him.
I get where he's going with that. Camp Nowhere.
Not just any time I ever see. I mean, seriously, you're telling me that he wasn't trying to stick it to Marty and Back to the Future?
Speaking of which, this is the fourth time Christopher Lloyd has worked with this director.
Yeah, they did a lot. And a lot of people in this film were in several of the Star Wars movies in one way or
another. Oh, yeah.
Like, they were really... When you say
they
cheap casting, I'm not really sure how cheap that would have been.
Yeah. Well, this was after Star Wars, before Star Wars had really become any... money maker.
It was 88.
Yeah.
That was, you know, yeah, Star Wars was making money. Still.
Well, anyway, moving on from the cartoon, you have Roger screws up and you find out it's because he thinks his wife is sleeping around on him.
I don't know, she's playing patty cake.
She's playing patty cake. Patty cake.
Is that what we're calling it now?
And seriously, who loves the fact that it's actually patty cake?
Yeah.
I was actually hoping that it was, like, a more metaphorical game.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, something a little bit more
I'm torn on this issue.
Innuendo on.
Oh, they put the innuendo well in there.
I'm really torn on that issue too, and that does, this movie does that a lot to me. Sometimes I think they might have just taken it a little too far. Sometimes I wonder if they should have taken it further, but I can't ever decide at what times what.
Yeah, and you've got to remember that this is not even a PG-13. This is a PG in the mid late 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were really trying to get, you know, both sides of the audience. It's like the old Bugs Bunny cartoons. They're hilarious as a kid. And they're hilarious as adults for two completely different reasons.
I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that in the Animaniacs cartoons, and even in the 90s, they still tried to fingerprints.
Yeah. But it's, you know, that's a shift in the 90s.
Yeah. They made that joke, but it was so, like, under wrap that kids don't get it.
Yeah. And that's part of the thing here, is they're making the innuendos that the adults get and the kids won't.
Yeah, that way both can watch. Okay, so we kind of skipped ahead of the patty cake thing, but I did kind of like the conversation where you really find out that Eddie is an alcoholic.
Yeah, that's not a conversation. That's a scene. That's a visual.
Yeah, but they're having the conversation there, and then he like is staring at the drink the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought. And then Dumbo.
Yeah.
Because he works for Peanuts. Oh, I would laugh somebody when that joke was made.
Yeah, but I gotta say, I loved the fact that they were actually able to get both Disney and Warner Brothers together.
Yes, and that was a huge deal.
Crap.
That was a huge deal that could not happen today. Like, period, could not. Too many people are too money hungry.
They could probably still do it, but yeah, it would be pricey.
Yeah. You spend more on the actual licensing rights than you would on the actual movie.
Speaking of which, this movie cost $70 million to make, estimated.
Holy crap.
Wow. Yeah.
Holy crap. Look at its gross stuff.
Yeah, over $154 million in the U.S. alone. $349 million worldwide.
Wow. That is a lot of money for a movie in the late 80s.
I think it's probably because mostly teenagers went just to go view Jessica Rabbit over and over and over.
Probably some of that, yeah.
Can I also point out that it started filming in 86?
Yeah.
Wow. Back then you had to wait forever for a movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they film them, put them out in theaters and on video and all on the same day.
Yeah, the longest part is just doing the editing and making sure that you've put in the advertisements properly.
Oh, speaking of advertisements, did anybody else catch all the product placement in this?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, there was a ton of product placement in this film.
I didn't really notice all that much.
It was actually pretty well hidden, but you've got the Chex, you've got the Anheuser-Busch, you've got it all. Like, it's all over the place.
Huh.
Ironically enough, a lot of alcohol.
There was a ton. Which, I mean, think about it. How much alcohol would you really need for this movie to start making sense? I'd like to test that theory.
Or just to be entertaining, like for you to laugh.
And I thought it was.
I think that maybe pot might be better for that one.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I so want to watch this movie and take acid now.
No. Just
no.
Drop two yellow sunshines right in the eye.
No, just take some, just smoke some weed.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
All right, so, and just as a disclaimer, we do not condone drug use at moviesinthebuff.com. Now let's get wasted! No.
It's legal in several states right now, so if
exactly.
You're in those states, go for it.
Yep.
Don't break the law. No drinking and driving. Very serious about that.
Yeah.
Well, if they're under 21, they don't need to be drinking. Anyway, it's against the law.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. You don't have faith in the age of a lot of our audience, do you?
I said don't need to be. I didn't say they weren't.
I think she just doesn't have any faith in the level of our intellectual discussions.
I could see that. all right, so moving on. Where are we at in the story? He goes to the nightclub and he meets Betty Boo. Who is working as a waitress now because she's black and white and they don't do black and white anymore. Yeah, the whole nightclub scene was really just like prepubescent sexual fantasy.
And, you know, a nod to vaudeville.
Yeah. Isn't that what I just said? All right. Let's see. Then you see her playing patty cake, and he goes back and tells Roger and shows him the pictures.
And then
Roger
goes patty cake
freaking insane.
Yeah.
They give him whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there would have been a little more explanation on that. Like, I get that whiskey apparently hits him really hard.
I think it hits all tunes hard.
Is that it? Okay.
I think so.
Well, I'm just saying they give him a shot of whiskey. He busts all the glass in the room, and yet remarkably there's one piece of glass still left that he runs through.
Yep.
And explain that one to me.
Yeah, it's a cartoon, remember? So there's a lot of stuff that you just sort of have to give up on.
Dropped a piano on his head, I'm just saying.
Jeez.
Okay. Let's see, where are we at? I'm getting distracted by Brad playing Call of Duty.
Oh, the next morning. The next morning he gets woke up by
his cop friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the cop friend's name?
Where is it? Santino.
Which was, I don't know, like, the buddy cop thing was kind of cool.
Oh no, that wasn't the buddy cop thing. That was the former buddy cop.
Yeah.
It's still a part of that noir detective stuff.
Mm-hmm. The way they played that off, I thought they did really well.
Yeah.
And I admit, I really love noir. The way that they did it in this. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, by the way, that guy, one of our Star Wars connections.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not a single Whedon connection in this movie.
Well, probably not an early problem.
We have a Fringe connection in this movie.
Yeah.
There's no Whedon?
There's no Whedon. Of course, most of the people are, you know, older, and a lot of them are like original voice actors from Looney Tunes and things like that.
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, moving on through our story, we have, let's see, Roger goes...
No, we find out about...
Insane.
Yeah, we find about Acme being killed.
Yes.
Somebody dropped a safe on his
Who hated the names here? You've got Acme, you've got Maroon,
No. Well, the Maroon was alright. I mean, it's just, you know, generic 40s studio exec name. The Acme I liked. Because it gave you, you know, it put a person behind the Acme products in all the cartoons.
That's true, I guess.
Which is why they used it.
Yeah, he was a nicer character, but they really didn't do anything with him.
I just have to point out the fact that the guy who voiced Droopy in this movie was Richard Williams.
Isn't that the guy who always voices Droopy? Yeah.
That I don't know, but if it is, and even if it isn't, it's still hilarious. Think about it for a minute.
Richard Williams.
I love that there's a character name in here called Arthritic Cowboy.
Yeah. We have a friend named Richard Williams.
Oh.
Yes,
I did not realize that was his last name.
Yeah. Tell me that's not funny.
That is kind of funny.
Okay. I did not realize this. Frank Sinatra was the singing sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was really him.
Yeah, it was actually a Frank Sinatra song.
I want to know how Frank Sinatra was known for Silver Linings Playbook, which was released in 2012.
Not even gonna try and wrap my head around
soundtrack.
That.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
Just drink.
And
just
by drink. The way, apparently from what I can tell, it's not the only time he's played, Droopy. Matter of fact, that's the only, almost the only voice he's ever done, but he's only done it since 82.
Fair enough. Okay.
I'm sorry, no, he did it in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, a short called Tummy Trouble, and then The Best of Roger Rabbit.
Gotcha. Okay, so moving on, and drink.
Yep.
And then,
so the
we meet the judge and the dip.
Yep.
Yeah, and you get to see the body outline with a safe over the portion that has the head.
Yeah,
I will say that of the rest of this movie, I can deal with. My biggest bitch about this movie is the dip.
The dip.
The dip.
Really?
It's like paint thinner.
It was paint thinner,
essentially. But no, even the consistency and the creation and the idea of having a liquid that could kill toons, that I was all fine with. Come up with a better freaking name.
Yeah, come up with a better one.
Just makes me want chips.
Yeah, where the guy who invented it is also a toon.
True, but...
Spoiler alert.
I love that nobody drew the line that Eddie Valiant's brother died because a piano was dropped on his head. Marvin Acme died because a safe was dropped on his head. Mm. And nobody made the connection?
No.
I think Eddie did, and he just never said anything about it. Just because no one was going to listen to him after, you know, Judge Doom.
That, and, you know, Toons dropping things on people's heads. Toons all the time, so.
Yeah, that, I think, was another thing. It's just like...
You know, it's a toon act.
That's the way a toon would kill. So, I don't know. Where are we at in the movie? Because I've lost my...
We just found the body. Or we're just at the body and...
Right, the body. And then
yep.
We find out
Eddie
and Eddie don't get along.
Yeah, and Eddie goes back home and finds a rabbit in his bed.
Yes,
and not a
that was hilarious.
And the wrong rabbit.
Not the one you'd like.
Not the one Scully'd like in her bed.
Oh, no, I didn't want her in my bed.
Now I've got a visual of Bob Haskins naked, and it's just really upsetting.
Yeah. Well, his pants were down.
Keep that visual.
And
think
without
back
a shirt
to the gym,
on.
Rod, think back to the gym.
I don't want to. That's wrong. Okay. Sadie Corr, apparently, was in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Just pointing that out. So, you know, first time we've had a connection. We really need to buff Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, we do.
I still don't think it's streaming.
Still not what?
I still don't think it's streaming.
It usually does around Halloween.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe we'll do it for one of our Halloween movies this year.
Sounds good. Okay, he finds Roger Rabbit and ends up handcuffed to Roger Rabbit.
Yep, and hilarity ensues.
Watch the movie if you want the hilarity. I'm not going to play-by-play each joke for you.
No.
And seriously,
really all this
movie
is a long string of jokes.
Hold on a second.
Did you just get up and walk away?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I just had a knock at my door. It was Little Man.
Okay.
Go and lay down. Sorry about that.
I thought you were going to say something. Hold on one sec. And I was like, okay.
I'm sorry. No. Okay, so hilarity ensues, like you said. And then you have Roger trying to get... Or no, I'm sorry. Eddie's trying to get free of Roger. Mm-hmm. And
well, Eddie's trying to get Roger cleared.
Uh-huh. No, I mean from the handcuffs.
Yeah, he's trying to get him out of the handcuffs first.
Yeah. And then turns out Roger isn't even stuck by the handcuffs.
Yeah. Because he can only come out when it's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
All right. At this point, I'm zoning out of this film at this point just because it gets a little dull in the middle.
I can't really help you because this is not too much longer. It's not too much longer before I fall asleep.
I think I might have too.
I know, I wasn't really paying attention because it was like,
we go. Okay, so he talks to Roger and Dolores. He's got Roger hidden in there and he goes to check on something. And Dolores is supposed to go and check with the court and find out about the will.
About the will. That's right, because this is where the whole will storyline comes in, where Acme was going to leave everything to the toons.
Right.
All right. So we have a story, sort of.
Yeah. Jessica Rabbit comes to his office, mm-hmm. and then Dolores catches him with his pants down.
Yeah. That was... Yeah, that was kind of foreseen.
Yeah.
That was kind of predictable.
Yeah.
At least it was just his pants down, because previously he didn't have a shirt on.
Yeah.
Or pants on.
No, he had pants on.
He had a pants and a tie.
He just never had
Clothes.
That makes more sense. The director of this also directed all of the Back to the Futures.
Yeah, it's Robert Zemeckis. I said that earlier.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to pay more attention.
Although, yes. Interestingly enough, Steven Spielberg was a producer.
Was he?
Yeah.
Huh.
Directed by Robert Zemeckis, produced by Steven Spielberg. I'm still waiting for the version of this where they're all holding walkie-talkies.
They're all cartoons. They were very nonviolent.
They were all carrying guns. They need to be replaced by walkie-talkies.
Jesus. I say cartoon guns. They were all kid-friendly.
Actually, not true. Only one gun in this movie was cartoon. All the rest were live.
Actually, there were a couple that weren't that I noticed.
Yeah.
I was like, especially
obvious when the toons are carrying the real guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, as oddly enough as it is when toons carry toon guns, because somehow the toon guns just look poorly drawn.
Yeah, I really hated the gun that Bob Hoskins had.
Really poorly drawn.
It was there to be funny.
It was there, like, it didn't even look like anything. It looked like a gray blob in his hand most of the time. Mm-hmm. And even when they really tried to make it look like a gun, it still didn't really look like a gun.
Yeah, you just can't do a very good job of drawing a cartoon handgun.
Yeah.
Rifles, shotgun, double barrel, single barrel, cannons, all look funny.
What was the point of the gun? Okay, number one, he shoots it at the one character that he doesn't even know is a cartoon yet. Mm-hmm. And apparently these bullets are not exactly the most reliable thing in the world.
They're dum-dum. They're dum-dum rounds. It's a 30s joke.
Okay.
It really is. Like dum-dum rounds, it's 30s slang. I forget exactly what it means. But they were... That's when he called... When they act stupid and turn the wrong direction, and he goes dum-dums. That was the joke that they were going for with it. I don't know if that's the only joke they were going for with the gun, but that was the one they took.
Dum-dum round is a reference to an expanding bullet.
There you go.
Bullet designed to expand on impact.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay. So from there, we have... he talks to Jessica Rabbit. He goes and he searches the office with Roger. And Jessica hits Roger in the head with a frying pan. Stuffs him in a trunk.
Yep.
You know, this movie doesn't get interesting again until they get to Toontown.
Yeah, it really doesn't. There's a whole lot you can really skip about...
Yeah.
Hey, I woke up when they were in the warehouse, so...
Seriously?
Oh, so
seriously.
You missed Toontown.
Yeah.
You missed all of Toontown.
Well, I've seen the movie before, but the only parts I remember from this movie are actually the only parts I saw today, too. Like, I remember all the beginning of this movie, up to the...
Are you sure you don't fall asleep at the same time every time you watch this movie?
No, because I've seen the other parts. But right up until the point where Judge Doom is doing the shaving a haircut in the bar, and right about the time Roger jumped out and did his two bits is when I passed out today, and then I woke up in the warehouse. But that is really the only parts about this movie that I remembered prior to watching it today.
Okay, so fair enough. They get to Toontown, because everything else we're pretty much just going to skip at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just in order to have an interesting show. Toontown's hilarious. From the moment that the elevator opens and I see Droopy, I know I'm going to have fun with this part.
Mm-hmm.
The elevator joke was classic cartoon. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, why are you listening to this without watching the movie first?
Yeah, and you really can't enjoy the movie if you didn't get in on the classic cartoons too. Because
there's
so many callbacks to those.
There is.
Particularly the Droopy in the elevator.
The Droopy in the elevator was hilarious.
Because
then of course, you know,
never gets old.
Yeah. Then of course, you know, you get to the top floor, the door opens, it's not Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
I hated this character so much. I hated this character in every cartoon I've ever seen this character in.
Which one's that?
The pimply faced, ugly woman.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
The redneck.
Yeah.
By the way, Rod, since, you know, they had to go with one of the tried and true Droopy jokes, at least they didn't go with the other one. Where Droopy's got 1,000 twins.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
that was a funny joke. Though.
I am happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to love Droopy cartoons when I was a kid. I really did. Okay, so then we get in the chase scene.
Yep.
And Yeah, again. And at some point it got dark in Toontown. That was really weird to me. What's that?
Yeah.
What were you saying, Rod? I missed that.
Oh, I said, you know, at some point it got dark. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really weird because the transition, I didn't catch it, and then I realized it's dark outside. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then he chases the judge, shoots the bullets. The bullets go the wrong way.
Of course.
I hated the bullets. I hated the whole joke. I hated that gag. Anything that had to do with a gun in this movie, I didn't like.
And at this point, I still haven't laughed in this movie.
Oh, I do want to say, who didn't like the weasels, though? I thought they were fun.
They were entertaining.
They were.
They were interestingly drawn. Like, the different aspects of thug that they were was pretty cool.
And, all the gangster styles.
Yep.
And the psycho one.
Yeah.
I love the psycho one. Anyway, okay, so Judge gets away. They end up in the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Roger and Jessica are tied up in the warehouse. Oh, we did completely skip over my joke where the car is driving the car. Anyway, because Roger can't drive. I thought Roger trying to drive was hilarious. Anyway, so skipping to the warehouse where Roger and Jessica are tied up.
Trying to drive, stay off the sidewalk and the house next to the sidewalk.
Hey. Don't hate everybody driving down that particular sidewalk. Okay. I know, I just went to a blue collar joke. God help me.
Well, actually, that was the joke of the taxi cab at the very beginning. It's like they arrested me for driving on the sidewalk. It was only a couple miles.
Yeah.
I like that joke.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, you know, they get in the fight with the judge, and Roger and Jessica are tied up. The dip is getting back and forth and back and forth and getting closer and going away and getting closer. I was getting dizzy at this point.
And then Eddie decides to, you know, grow a sense of humor and try to get the guys to die laughing. Because, you know, they haven't been setting that up all movie long.
I know.
I mean, they started with Roger going, sometimes a laugh is the only weapon you've got, to the repeated references to you're going to die laughing.
And then when Roger actually says, you're killing him, I'm like,
yeah,
stick a fork
at
in me.
At this point, I'm doing the facepalm.
Yeah. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Okay, you know what? It doesn't get interesting again until Christopher Lloyd gets ran over with the flattener.
Oh, which is all kinds of fun.
That was awesome.
Rolled Are you surprised? Like no, not really.
Mm-mm.
By this point, no. We
oh, and the freeway
surprised.
Joke. Who didn't love
the freeway? The freeway was the only thing I actually snickered about.
That was funny.
Only someone as sick as Tune would come up with that idea.
Oh, no. Eight lanes of smooth concrete from here to Pasadena.
Traffic is a thing of the past.
I'm like, yeah, for about this
is the only thing I found funny.
Oh, hilarious.
I'd rather drive in a small town, thank you.
I'd rather just get in my car, turn it on, and sit there, because it's about as far as I'm going to get.
No kidding.
Well, let me rephrase that. If I have to drive, I mean, I can walk.
Oh, and remember, it's safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we flatten the judge, then we end up spraying him down with dip. And then it turns on all the fire hydrants to clean it out. And bust the wall down so that Toontown can see in. You've got all the cartoons there, and they find the will, which was on the love letter that Roger wrote in the first place.
Yep.
Who didn't see that coming?
Yeah.
I don't think I did the first time I saw this movie, but it's been a long
time.
Seriously? It's been a long
probably
time
not
since
the first
I
time.
Saw this movie.
I squirted that guy, was setting it up for that when he squirted him with invisible ink.
Yeah, but it was you gotta remember that I first saw this movie probably before you were born, Rod.
You gotta remember that that twist was easier to see coming than Peter North.
Terrible. Not even.
It doesn't even get an acknowledgement.
That doesn't even rate a move, Rod. Rod, that doesn't even rate a tired point.
Bite me. Alright, so.
Yeah, I might catch something.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. So, can we call in the movie here?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Back there, Toontown thing, and yeah. All right.
Kisses Roger.
Huh?
And Valiant kisses Roger and movie's over.
Oh, yeah. We'd have that last kiss scene. Too bad it couldn't kiss the wrong rabbit get kissed, but whatever.
Hey, I said that at the intro. He kissed the wrong rabbit.
All right. So, time for buff quotes. And Scully, would you like to start us off?
Sure. Mine's really easy. I'm not bad. I was just drawn this way.
I knew.
Oh, no!
We didn't go through the quotes at the, in free show.
Oh, no. Lisa had the same one.
Yeah.
Yep. She had a couple of them that were just like that, though.
Yeah.
Lisa, did you want to use that other one I had earlier? Do you remember the one I had earlier?
No, I don't.
Neither do I. Crap. Okay, Carl, go ahead.
You don't know how hard it is to be a man looking at a woman looking the way you do.
You know, what's really funny is these two quotes, I thought Scully and Carl for both of those.
I heard the I'm just drawn that way, and about the same time I was opening my mouth to say, Lisa, that's your line. She goes, should I? And I go, yes.
Yeah. Lisa, do you got yours?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Here's to the pencil pushers. Maybe I'll get lead poisoning.
Amen.
Amen.
I thought about taking that one, too.
I know. All right. And as for mine, yeah, check the probate. Why, my Uncle Thumper had problems with his probate. He had to take these big pills and drink lots of water.
That was probate, not prostate.
Hey, well, you know, considering the fact that my last few rants have had to deal with, like, enemas and...
I think that suits you.
Luckily, I'm pretty sure I kept away from putting anything in any anal orifices in my rant this time, so...
God, I hope so.
All right.
He didn't mention any other orifices, so I'm still not exactly feeling in the clear here.
Giggity. All right, so, best buff. Carl, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, we're getting the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead award for me sleeping through half a movie.
I like that award. All right, any others?
Yes, I'm also giving this the Whedon Award for hiring all of your former cast members to play in your new show.
I like that.
Seriously, how many Back to the Future alumni do we have here? I know of two off the top.
And that's not even counting
that's
the Star
in the top
Wars.
Four. Yeah, and that's not counting the Star Wars ones.
Okay.
But then the director didn't have anything to do with Star Wars, so.
Exactly. Any others?
No, those are the two I had.
All right. Lisa?
I'm giving this the Labyrinth Award for Silly Songs. For the smile, darn it, smile.
Is that what they were singing?
Yes, I had closed captions on.
Good, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, are they singing Damn It?
No, it was Darn It.
Damn You.
Hey, Lisa.
Actually, the exact wording was Smile, Darn You, Smile. Hey, Rod.
You remind me of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
Frank!
All right.
Things at Rod.
Oh.
All right.
This is a personal request from me to one listener I know we have that can do it. Somebody, one of our listeners needs to smack Rod upside the head right about now. Unfortunately, he can't hear it until he goes home.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about another listener that could do it, but let's face it, I would like it if she did.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so. Where are we at? Oh, yes. Best buff. Lisa, did you have any more?
Nope, that's it.
All right, Scully.
We have a West Wing walk-on for Christopher Lloyd.
Hoorah.
I also have
to
give a...
character that I actually knew.
I had to give a nerd award to Christopher Lloyd as well, because he did Cyber Chase on PBS. Oh my god, I love that cartoon.
Just for the record, we never get to do... We can never buff anything that has the guy that played Max Headroom in it.
Why?
I want to point that out now. Because if she almost had an orgasm over that, I mean.
You clearly have got no appreciation for PBS.
Not much.
Not really.
By the way, can I point out the one thing that we all know Bob Hoskins from other than this?
Mario Brothers?
No. Dude was Smee and Hook.
Smee and Hook.
Yes.
Bob Hoskins was in everything, man. He was in Mermaids. That was a great movie. Hated Cher. Hated Winona Ryder. Why did I like that movie?
Let me start off saying, watch this movie. Wait, I don't know why I like this movie. But you should watch it anyway.
Like, I hate Cher. I hate Winona Ryder. Why would I even watch this movie? But I do like Bob Hoskins. Also, hilarious good. And Michael, by the way.
I forgot he was.
All right, I'm good. I'm all out of awards.
Okay, cool.
Just couldn't.
Well, I'm giving this one the Overly Subliminal Product Placement Award. Because you really had to look, but they were everywhere.
I was going to say, it really wasn't overly subliminal. It was more like the Wayne's World moment of, this is clearly how we paid for this movie.
Yeah, I'm kidding. All right, and my other one is for the Disney and Looney Tunes crossover, or Disney and Warner Brothers crossover, I'm giving this the Ultimate Slash Fanfic Award. Now, a lot of you are questioning that, but as it turns out, there's a huge, I don't want to say market, but following for Disney slash fanfic.
Are you talking about the porn stuff that you find online?
There is, and then there's also, like, there are actual Disney fanfic contests that are actual, like, legit fanfic. And it's kind of creepy. It's actually really creepy. A friend of mine sent me one to ask me to read over it, and I'm two paragraphs in, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not reading this.
So is the porn. It's bizarre. You don't even need to, like, click on the link to go, yeah, that's just wrong.
And for those of you who would like, the link will be on our website. No, I mean, okay. And that was all my awards. I thought about giving Christopher Lloyd the decaf award for the eyes at the end because they freaked me out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, moving on. Okay, it's time for Were You Playing With Your Willy? let's see.
Scully, remind me to ask questions from the middle of the movie.
No kidding, nobody had anything. All right, Scully.
Oh, let's see. I'm actually trying to look for stuff that happened in the middle of the movie.
Thanks.
What?
Scully.
Oh, what was the license plate on Eddie Valiant's car when he went to go search the Maroon Studios? Or he told Maroon that he had the will and was showing up.
AMS 129.
Huh? No. It's a California license plate. That is not even enough digits.
We'll explain that later. Anyway, I don't know.
Lisa?
No clue.
2C4974.
Periodically throughout the Punisher movie and video game, they try to run the Punisher over with a car that always has AMS, or ASM, sorry, I said it wrong. ASM 129, which is Amazing Spider-Man number 129, the first.
Gotcha. Yep.
Punisher.
That's the joke behind that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. And when Roger is giving his speech about how laughter is the one weapon we have, what is he standing on?
A soapbox.
Yes.
I remember that because I thought that joke was actually funny.
I was like, oh, go
ahead. Yeah,
there.
I didn't catch it either.
All right. Let's see, Lisa.
When they're in the warehouse, what is the number on the tractor? Or the cat or the bulldozer, whatever the hell that machine was.
696. I don't know.
70.
I have no idea.
Scully?
No idea.
159. And
that's like a really popular random number to put on stuff in movies. It's not. It's like one of those numbers that's just constantly being recycled.
And what was the trolley number?
721. I actually wrote that down because I knew somebody was going to ask.
720?
No, 721.
7211.
No, it was car 721. There was only 3 digits on the card.
Okay.
You saw the 1 twice.
He seems pretty sure.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote it down, car 721, Sunset Boulevard, because that's what was on the front of it.
Nice. All right. Carl, that means it's your turn to ask questions.
All right. What is the full name of the director of the short that starts this movie off?
Oh, I didn't write that down.
I didn't write that down either.
I think I should have.
It's funny because Roger calls him by name through half that first scene after the cut, but.
I give up.
Mm. Raul J. Raul. Jeez. And Roger calls him Raul throughout that whole scene.
Yep.
According to the newspapers laying around the office, what was Goofy accused of once?
Spying.
Espionage.
I give it to spying because it says Goofy cleared of spying accusations. I did have espionage written down as the answer, but I'm going to give it to spying for being first.
Wow. Okay, that leaves it as my questions.
And
okay.
Wait, what's our total here?
3.
I've got 1.
I got 1.
I've got 1. Lisa's got 1. And Scully has 0?
Yeah, I don't have any.
Okay. But Rod won't win.
Nope. Okay, name the 3 items that Daffy Duck used to play the piano other than parts of his body.
A tennis racket, a hammer, and a boxing glove.
I never saw a tennis racket.
Yeah, it's one of the things that he's throwing up after the boxing glove, because he goes through a tennis racket, a hammer, and something else.
It was a boxing glove, a hammer, and a chicken.
Ah, that was the other thing, a chicken.
I don't remember seeing that. I'm going to give it to you, because maybe I just overlooked it.
Yeah, it's a real quick flash, because he's throwing things up in the air as you're looking across the piano.
Okay. Which one of these do I want to use? What brand of cigarettes was Betty Boop selling?
Lucky Strikes.
Next.
I was just going with a guess.
I am also going to go with a guess and say Pall Mall. I bet that's not right either.
Camel.
It was Camel's.
Yeah. Oh, nice. 4-way tie. Like,
no, I have 2. I'm the only one with 2. It's okay. A 3-way tie for second place. I do have a backup. I do have a backup question for you guys, though. Who's the last tune seen on screen?
Porky Pig.
Porky Pig.
No, Tinkerbell.
It was Tinkerbell.
Oh, yeah.
Tinkerbell. I'm sorry, because she dinged Porky Pig's nose.
She dinged Porky Pig on the nose, and the screen goes black except for her.
Okay, so Scully is in second.
Yep.
And we'll I also had a question you didn't know the answer to, Carl.
Yep. All right, for audience questions, how long has Benny been a cabbie?
Didn't we say that earlier in the episode?
No.
No.
He says it in the movie, but we didn't actually.
I swear we said it earlier. Okay. And Scully.
How much was Judge Doom's reward for turning in Roger Rabbit that he wrote on the chalkboard?
Nice.
Good question. All right. Lisa.
There is a sign being raised one time in the movie. What is written on that sign?
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Drink. Hi, Iron. Mm-hmm.
Twice, because he first had knocked up a bit.
Yep, hear him. He interrupted the show. He didn't participate.
Sorry, he's really cranky.
That's okay. We already called a drink for Ireland trying to...
I know, I heard you. All right, as for my audience question, what was the name of the newspaper that featured, quote, Roger's murder as the front page?
Ooh. Nice one.
All right. And let's see, that puts us down into mental debuff, and it's Carl's turn. Carl won the right to go first.
Yeah. Grab some popcorn and reminisce what it was like to watch the old cartoons. Because seriously, that's what this is. It's, you know, it's the old Bugs Bunnies. It's essentially all the great things about Warner Brothers cartoons from back in the day. And they're still good.
Good. All right, Scully.
Yeah. If you want to watch a much better noir film, go watch one. Don't watch this. And if you just feel like sitting around and watching cartoons and eating breakfast cereal, then go do that. Because you could skip this. You really could.
You just gave me a flashback to that character in House. Wow. I feel weird now. Let's just point out the fact that he was a doctor. I'm just saying. Okay. So, Lisa.
Okay, this movie, not gonna deny, was silly. But how many of you out there remember Saturday morning cartoons? So just sit back and be silly for a while.
Okay. And now it is not tune time.
Now it's time to mute your microphones.
It is time for Rod's rants. I'm going to cover a 2-year-old's ears. Actually, he'll be free in a couple of weeks. Alright. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is the very definition of some Mickey Mouse bullshit. I mean, this poorly acted cartoon slash real life crossover is topped only by the fact that Bob Hoskins didn't feel that he got goofy enough. So instead of saying been there, done that, he decided to sign on for Mario Brothers. I mean, tell me that didn't suck bull nut. Okay, let's bring this down for a minute. Let's talk about the introduction to cartoon pornographic fantasy known as Jessica Rabbit. The fuck were they thinking? Let's face facts, this broad did more for early 90s preteen masturbatory fantasies than Hugh Hefner. But once again, they did it bigger and better 6 years earlier in heavy metal. All in all, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is the bee's fucking knees when it comes to crossover story writing. This film paved the way for amazing titles like Cool World, Space Jam, and I'm kind of sorry to say Monkey Bone. And if you're confused about why I was naming the name of films and not talking about Jessica Rabbit again, I said titles, never mind. I have to say I love this movie for the bukkake of goofiness that it truly is. Bob Hoskins is incredible, Daffy Duck is delightful, and Christopher Lambert is a pedophile. Because, you know, that's why he plays best. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
Oh shit, Rod, do you even realize what you did?
What?
You said Christopher Lambert.
Well, I did.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
What are we doing next week?
Okay, so what I meant to say was Christopher Lloyd is a pedophile. Thank you. Wow.
Lost and Delirious.
Next week, Lost and Delirious. Lovely coming of age. Say again.
I said, that's kind of how I feel right now.
No kidding. Lovely coming-of-age story of two lesbians with lots of sex scenes. Hooray!
You picked this, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Who else?
Hey, who else loves lesbian sex scenes as much as I do? Okay, no, actually, it is a really good story.
Every other 18-year-old boy.
Bite me.
No, thank you. I told you, I might catch something.
All right. So, join us next week for Lost in the Delirious and the Buff, because that sounds like a good time.
Alcohol. I'm going to need lots of it.
Lots of alcohol. And until then, keep watching those movies in the Buff. It's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
DVD. That's all, folks.
Hey, Buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team at debauchery, me at Rod the Golden,
at Scully44,
at Kith Kanan,
and at Acorna Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at Stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution,
Non-Commercial,
No Derivatives,
3.0 U.S. license.